Well, we don't have far to turn. It should be easy to find. Genesis chapter 4. We've been preaching on great stories of the Bible. Once again, I remind you, this is not a fairy tale. It's not just some kind of fictitious story. It's a real account. When you begin in the book of Genesis, you have a lot of firsts, a lot of things that are established. You have creation, the first day, the first family, the first animals, first home and marriage. But you also have the first murder, the initial sin. Genesis chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond or wonder shalt thou be in the earth. The account that we read is just kind of hard to believe. That in a perfect environment, in a place where only the original sin was committed, but yet not that far removed from paradise, in the Garden of Eden, the first children that were born, not corrupted by society or the inner city, but by loving parents, and that one young man would take the life of his brother, that kill him in cold blood. It's just kind of hard to imagine. But something is established here that goes beyond that when we understand that there is a thread that goes all the way through the New Testament. So, we have the beginning. God created the world, the earth, from nothing. And then he created man, put him there, put the animals there. And he gave Eve from the rib of the man to be his wife. God said, be fruitful, multiply, and they did. But there was a curse that was upon the serpent, upon the earth, because of the sin. In chapter 3, we just read how they disobeyed God. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Their eyes were open. But we also see God clothed them. They tried to clothe themselves, was insufficient, and God clothed them. I don't know if they killed the animal or if God killed the animal, but we know he clothed them with the coats of skin. So an animal was sacrificed to provide proper clothing, a picture of what happens when a person is saved, that God clothes us with his righteousness, that we are naked without that, but he gives us purity and holiness. A promise is given to Eve and Adam that there would be a seed come from her that would crush the head of the serpent. He would bruise their heel. There would be a wound, but it would be a mortal wound against Satan. Now that was good news. They weren't sure when this was going to happen or how it would happen. But the evidence is that when Cain was born, she said, I've received a man from the Lord. And she thought, here's the answer. We messed up. We sinned against God. But by his grace, he clothed us. And now he's given us deliverance over Satan. But it didn't work out that way. Cain did not become the deliverer, but rather he became the seed of the ungodly line. But she didn't know that at the time. She was looking for that and hoping, but it did not happen. So then Abel is born. They go in two different directions. The one becomes a farmer, Cain. Nothing wrong with that. There is no disputing that it was a good occupation and a worthy thing for him to do. Another one, keeper of the sheep. Again, no real difference between the two as far as an occupation. They were both good. Nothing wrong with it. But when it came to bringing an offering before the Lord, it did make a difference. One came with a blood sacrifice. The other one did not. Instead of Cain being a deliverer, he became a murderer. Can't imagine what the parents must have felt. How do you think Adam and Eve felt? We read about God's response. God says, where's your brother? And he said, I don't know. I think he was sarcastic. He said, my brother's keeper? Imagine that, saying that to God. It's not my job. He knew and God knew. But I wonder what the parents felt. It's not, there's no indication as to how they felt, but we would know how they felt. At one point, they think, this is wonderful. A baby is born. You always think of promise for that child. They're going to do something great and that they're going to be a blessing. And sometimes they become a heartache. But wow, who would expect it would be like this? And now one is taken and the other one is cast out from them. They're basically empty nesters. They have no child now. One is taken away and the other one has been killed. Well, in this picture, in the story, it's important to distinguish between Cain and Abel, as it does all the way through the Bible. Cain is a man of the earth. His religion was destitute of any adequate sense of sin. He did not recognize a need for atonement. Seven things are said about him. First of all, he worships in self-will. He determined how he would worship God. Evidently, there had been a system already established of how they would worship God, a place where they would worship God. An altar had been established. Most likely, Adam and Eve continued to do so. And now that they had to know, Adam knew, I believe, and Eve had to know, but I'm sure Cain and Abel both had to know. And I believe they had to be instructed how to do it. It doesn't say that, but as you read through the rest of Scripture, there's every indication that one came by faith, the other one did not. The only way you come by faith is you knew what God said. And if one knew, I'm sure the other one knew. We see Cain then determined, I'm going to do it my way. He was stubborn. And we see this repeated throughout history, and we see it repeated in everyday life. There are people that determine, I'll worship God the way I well please. I want to have church the way I want to have church. In the last two or three decades, we've had people go around and take a poll. What do you want in church? You know, and we'll figure it out and we'll give you whatever you want. That's not the way the Bible teaches. The Bible says, here's the way to do it. Just follow suit. Do it the way God said. So he is self-willed. Secondly, he's angry with God. We see how he was disturbed over the whole thing. He became wroth, it says. That means he had wrath. There was anger. Why would he be angry at God? He's the one that committed the sin. He's the one that's a murderer. But he was angry at God because he didn't think it was fair. He didn't think it was right. Why would you establish this rule to bring blood sacrifice? And he didn't get it. He was angry. You know, there are a lot of angry people today. They don't want to do anything God's way, and they're They can't figure it out. And so they're angry at Christians, they're angry at God or churches and anything about the Bible. And there are people like that. They are angry. But they're angry at God. Thirdly, he refuses to bring a sin offering. It says right here, even in Genesis, that it was established, he determined he was going to do it his way. He said, you'll do well. He gave him an opportunity. If you'll do this, you'll be well. Abel did it by faith. He knew what was right. But Cain did not do well. He said, I don't want to bring a blood sacrifice. I don't know if he's jealous over his brother. And he said, I'm not going to buy any animals from him. I'm not going to ask for anything from him. This should be good enough. He was a man of the earth, a man of the world. He refuses to bring a sin offering. Number four, he murders his brother. There's no other way around it. He kills him in cold blood. It was unjustified. It was out of jealousy and out of anger toward God. He took the life of his brother. And then number five, he lies to God. He says, I don't know where my brother is. He knew full well where he was. It was a blatant lie and a sarcastic attitude toward him. Am I my brother's keeper? Number six, he becomes a vagabond. He is unsettled. And he's a fugitive. He's roaming around the rest of the world, although he did establish himself in one place. But he is taken away from his family and from his location. And number seven, oddly, he still becomes the object of God's care. He still was concerned about him because he said, I'm going to put a mark on you. And I don't know if it's a physical mark, but it was known, don't you touch Cain, let him go. And that was the protection of God. Cain destroyed the godly line by killing Abel. But another child soon comes onto the scene. And his name is Seth. So we read after time, his sons, we call them the Sethites, those that were of the godly seed, to replace Abel, married the daughters of Cain, the Cainites. And from that marriage, that godly line was corrupted. We read about how people became so wicked that their thought and imagination was evil only continually because they merged those two lines together, the godly line with the ungodly line. The ungodly line always corrupts the godly line. That's how it always works. And as a result of that, we have the great flood to destroy all the wickedness of man here on the earth. It's also interesting to note that from Cain's family and descendants, they had the same or similar name as that of the godly seed. They tried to copy it, but doing it their own way. You have four or five names like that, Enos and Lamech. It's interesting. So there have always been, so if we begin to be, at the book of Genesis, there is going to be this destruction ultimately of Satan, but there's always going to be this seed, and there is going to be the bruising of the heel or the hindrance to the gospel. But there is that godly seed that he has always spared. So throughout history, interwoven through different periods of time, all the way up to through today and into the future, there is going to be a godly seed and an ungodly seed. That which is righteous, that which is unrighteous. That which is holy, that which is unholy. So we see that those that are saved today are part of that godly seed, that remnant. Those that are unsaved, following the same direction of Satan without knowing it, their eyes and minds are blinded by Satan. When we look at the godly seed, we follow the faith of Abel. Now, we'll turn to a couple of verses here. I don't think you have to turn to Hebrews 11, but you probably know this, but maybe you can go to 1 John chapter 3. Hebrews 11 and verse 4, it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. the first in line of all the great saints of the past mentioned as men of faith, it starts with Abel. He's the first one. What he did in offering a sacrifice was by faith. The only way he could do that by faith is he had to know that's what God expected. And he followed through. God, you want a sacrifice. And the reason, as we go all the way through the Bible again, we see without the shedding of blood is no remission. The grace of God cannot be imparted without the sacrifice through blood. There are those in modernist churches that have taken the blood out of their songbooks. I remember talking to, so happened, a liberal Baptist preacher many years ago, and somebody was questioning him about some of the Muslims and whatnot, and they said, oh, they're just like those bloody Jews offering sacrifices. Boy, it sent chills up my spine. This man's supposed to be a Baptist preacher complaining about the blood of Christ. Without the blood of Christ, there's no salvation.
Yeah.
By the way, I witnessed to that preacher, and he couldn't give me an answer when he got saved either. He obviously wasn't saved.
Right.
His idea is just, let's make it heaven on earth right here. Forget about the blood of Christ. Let's do good. We see then, by faith, Abel offered a sacrifice. That's the godly seed. He obeyed God. It shows the necessity of salvation by the blood of Christ when he was crucified on Calvary. Everything is connected to the substitutionary death of Christ for people today. And if they reject that, they have rejected the godly seed. If they try and do it any other way, through their own power, through the flesh, through doing good, through religion, or through their own mind, they're following the ungodly seed. Everybody should be there. 1 John 3. 1 John 3 and verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. So we see the contrast. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. All the way into the New Testament, one of the last books written in the New Testament by the Apostle John, he reminds people of the same truth. Early on in the church, reminded there's a godly seed and an ungodly seed. The godly seed through Abel. But then there is the corrupt seed. That is through Cain, or pictured through Cain. In Jude 1:11, in 1 John, you can turn over to that. It's not very far. Just one chapter in Jude, right before Revelation. If you hit Revelation, just go backwards. Jude chapter 1, verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. All three of these men gave an example of the ungodly seed. But it says, in the way of Cain. What was the way of Cain? It was living by the world, the earth, the power of the flesh, but ignoring the propitiation of Christ at Calvary. Turn with me over to the Gospel of Luke, and this is a little bit longer, so if you'll turn there, I'll give you time to get to it. Chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse 45. Luke chapter 11 and verse 45. If you're listening at home, hopefully you're turning to the scripture with us and marking your Bible as you go. Luke 11, 45. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying thou reproachest us also. And he said, Woe unto you all ye lawyers. For ye laid, and by the way, they're not attorneys, they're studiers of the law of God. All right. Just to clarify that for Scott's sake. Woe also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens, grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets, your fathers killed them. Truly you bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, For they indeed kill them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel, see the connection through all the years, the connection to the blood of Abel, who was speaking righteousness, unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hindered. They were looking toward the doing things their way, and when it conflicted by those that were righteous, they killed them. So beginning at Abel, then other prophets, and you go through all the way to Zacharias toward the end of the Old Testament, how he was killed. Somebody didn't like what they said, let's get rid of them. Just like they tried to kill Elijah. But you can't destroy God himself. You can't change the plan just because you think you've got it figured out. So there, in my mind, there's no doubt God taught Adam and his family how to approach God and how to worship God. In Genesis 3:21, unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now that one statement, by knowing the rest of Scripture, helps us understand something, that they realized that it would be only by the shedding of blood that their sin would be covered. There would have to be an animal sacrifice to get skins. You don't go to the store and buy coats. It was something that manifestly happened, and I believe that continued in their worship. So it indicates a sacrifice of blood was involved. Hebrews chapter 9, it talks about without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. But Cain brought a bloodless sacrifice from a cursed earth. His offering may have been sincere, but it was not accepted. Sincerity doesn't change truth. Just because you mean well does not change the gospel message. He brought the wrong sacrifice. He refused the right one. It calls his way the way of Cain. That's the way of religion without blood. Religion based on religious good works, based upon self-righteousness, following a creed that a church may establish, but it rejects the blood of Christ. Now, I've said this many, many times, but it's worth repeating over and over again. The only way a person today can be saved is by putting faith in the substitutionary death of Christ. It's not just asking for forgiveness. It's not just believing that Christ existed and died on the cross. It is putting faith in what he did. He was crucified, shed his blood, and that is the only basis of our salvation. Faith in that substitutionary death. His shedding of his own blood. The truth is there are only two religions in the world today. Now, I know there are many, many that, oh, this is religion, there's that religion, Eastern religions, different cults. But in reality, it can be all boiled down to two religions. That of Abel that depends on the blood of Christ and his finished work on the cross. And that of Cain that depends on good works, man-pleasing religion. One leads to heaven, the other one leads to hell. That is the truth. Hebrews 9:22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. It's emphatic. It's imperative. There is no other way. Cain did not repent of his sin, and he showed remorse and despair. He wasn't happy with his plight, but he did not repent. And his parents, remember, started blaming one another. Oh, it's the wife you gave me, that's her fault. Man, that's an easy excuse. That's my wife's fault. And the wife says, oh, it wasn't really my fault. It was the serpent's fault. And now Cain comes up with his excuse. You know, they were running and hiding from God, and now Cain does the same thing.
Right.
See, that's what sin does. It's never out in the open, never in the light. It's always in the shadows, and it's always hidden. But he was rejected by heaven and refused by the earth. Now he became a fugitive. Cain's fear and hopelessness. He says, anyone who finds me is going to kill me. How am I supposed to live like this? Well, in grace, God promised to protect Cain, and he said, I put a name, a sign, or a mark to verify that promise. But Cain is a picture of humankind today. He was restless. He was wandering. He was defeated. He was hopeless. And that's a picture of the world today. That's where people are at. He has evaluated from a human point of view. If you look at his descendants, in the world's eye, actually, I think he looked successful. He was a fugitive for a while, but ultimately established a city. And in that city, there were people that were educated and trained in skills. It mentions Jabal, this wonder. He founded the science of agriculture. And they learned how to produce more from the earth. Jubal founded culture and music. Tubal Cain founded the metal industries. They actually became, I believe, with great ability in that society to the point you said, well, this is pretty good. Look at all they've learned to do. In the world's eyes, it looked promising. There are a lot of things that people can do today. To this day, I still don't understand computer. And I'm not alone. I don't understand how they can make that work. How they can take a little chip and make that do what it does. I don't understand it. And I have to say, it's phenomenal. But compared to God, that's nothing. When you see the advancement in so many industries, see the advancement in science and technology, and see the advancement of every industry imaginable, in every aspect of life, you think, wow, life couldn't be any better than it is today. In the world's eyes, that's how they see it. But in God's eyes, they've missed the point of being here on this earth.
Right.
They are following the way of Cain, but not following the godly line of Abel.
Right.
In outward appearance, Cain's city was a success. But God made it clear he had rejected it all. And there will be some people stand before God that thought, I don't understand it. I was highly educated, and I went to Ivy League school, and I performed all these great deeds, and I was involved in medicine and cures, and all those works without the blood of Christ is still following the way of the earth.
Amen.
In Genesis 4, and verse 25, we see the birth of Seth. And he gave them a new seed. He was a substitute taking Abel's place of a godly seed. God did not try to reform the Cainites, the followers of Cain. He rejected them and ultimately would condemn them in the flood. But he did provide a godly line. And even during the flood, he spared Noah and his family. It preserved seed. It preserved seed of the animals that they would reproduce. Matthew 24 reveals to us, as the days of Noah were, so also will coming the Son of Man be. Highly advanced technology and science. Men very, very capable. Information is increased. Knowledge is increased. But they're following the wrong direction.
Right.
Following the way of Cain.
Right.
We still have boasting murderers like Lamech. We still have people who violate the sacred vows of marriage. We still have people marrying, giving in marriage, living their life for the things of the earth, but not for the things of God. It's an amazing thing when you get saved, it gives you a whole new perspective of life, doesn't it? And you look at people and you think, do they know where they're going? They're busy, they're running here and there and doing all these things. Do they even know what they're doing? Hey, listen, young people, don't miss it. Don't matter what the world has out there to offer is the way of Cain. That's all they have. You're privileged to hear the gospel. You're privileged to have Christian home and family, and Christian school, and Bible college. You are privileged. Don't take it for granted. You have to have that personal relationship through that godly line, through that godly seed. The only way to God is through the blood of Christ. That's it. It's not just saying a prayer. It's not trying to fall in line with whatever you think a Christian should look like. It's coming to a place in your life where you realize, I've been going the wrong direction. I'm trusting in my self-righteousness. I need to put my full faith in His righteousness. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There's two directions. One leads to heaven, one to hell. There's two paths you can follow and trust. One, that of the earth, following the world, following your self-righteousness. The other one, following through the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You can be saved, but still have an attraction to the direction of the world. And that's why the admonition is given to the Corinthian church. Come out from among them. Be separate from the world. Live like your lineage tells you should live. Live after Christ. Follow His grace, His mercy. I want to tell you, now, it's impressive when you come to a service like this and hear people singing about the wonderful grace of Jesus. How God has done a work in your heart and life, people singing and rejoicing in that. That's not the way it is out in the world. The songs of the world are totally different. I'm not sure you even call some of it music. I'm not sure what you'd call it. But the songs of the heart of the people of God have meaning and depth. And the reason we sing is because we're singing to the Lord. It is a testimony of the work that He's done in our heart and life. I'm grateful that you know that. I'm grateful that you're saved. But there may be someone tonight that's not. And you've followed the ungodly seed. You've followed the way of Cain, and that's where you're headed. You could be in church. You could be in a Christian home. And still in your heart, you're following the wrong lineage, the wrong person. Remember, there's two ways. There's not three. There's not multiple ways. There's the way of Cain, and then there is the way of the godly seed through Abel, through Seth, through the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified. Let's bow for prayer.